Welcome to the Sunday Special on the Scope of Practice podcast, where we take a break from the hustle and grind of business and talk to real healthcare professionals about how their faith in God shapes their clinical practice. Now, here's your host, Dr. Brent Lacey.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to the Scope of Practice podcast. I'm excited to bring you the 16th installment of the Sunday Special. If you're a new listener to the podcast, the Sunday Special is completely separate from the regular weekly Monday episodes. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to the previous Sunday Special episodes, let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing here. On the first Sunday of every month, I feature a special episode where I interview a Christian physician about their faith in God, their personal spiritual journey, and how their faith has influenced their career. If you're looking for the regular episodes where we talk about strategies and resources to help you manage your businesses more successfully and master your personal finances, those episodes come out on Monday morning, so you can join me again tomorrow. But I do hope you'll stay. You know, these episodes, I've been hearing from lots of people all around the country that these are incredibly inspiring stories from physicians and from their spouses to really start to normalize the Christian faith and really start to make it seem like there's nothing that we need to be afraid of, you know, that we can be more open, we can be more bold about our faith. And I hope that these discussions will embolden you to do just that. So let me encourage you to go ahead and stay here. And while you're at it, subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already done so. That way you don't miss out on any of the free upcoming episodes. Also, stay tuned to the end of the show to hear about the free resources that I'm giving away to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Today's Bible verse is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's easy to feel like your work is in vain, isn't it? I mean, how often do we go to work and we're just going through the motions? It can be hard to put on a smile and just come to work day after day. Sometimes we wonder whether we're making a difference at all. But those who work for the glory of God can take comfort knowing that their work is pleasing to God, and that God works all things for the good for those who believe in Him. So, when you feel your confidence begin to falter, remember the God you serve and trust that He will use your labor for His glory. Before we get into the show, let's talk about this week's sponsor, Deputy. At your practice, what happens when staff call out sick? How much time does it take to find replacements who can fill in? If you need to cancel appointments because you're short-staffed, what does that cost your practice? Well, Deputy is a simple app that has helped more than 250,000 workplaces tackle this problem. Deputy makes it easy to schedule staff in line with patient demand, as well as communicate schedules with your team and instantly find replacements when someone calls out sick. So to learn more and try out Deputy for free, that's right, you can try them for free, go to drpodcastnetwork.com/deputy. My guest today is Dr. Tolu Olabinton. She's a family medicine physician and HIV specialist who left her steady job in the middle of the COVID crisis to start her own private practice. She started out with telemedicine and then launched her in-person private practice this summer. I'm not sure if there's a more difficult time to launch a medical practice than the middle of the COVID shutdown, but there can't have been many. She is dedicated to helping patients both spiritually and physically, and she's bold about speaking the name of Jesus on her website, with her staff, and to her patients. She's got a unique background also, and I think her story is really going to inspire you. So, here is my conversation with Dr. Tolu Olabinton. Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for joining me today for the Sunday Special on the Scope of Practice podcast. I am super excited to welcome my guest today. This is Dr. Tolu Olabinton, coming to us from the great metropolis of Mansfield, Texas. And I love that we've got someone who's kind of a neighbor here. This is a lot of fun. So, Dr. O, thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you so much, Brent, for having me. This is awesome. Thank you.
Well, I'm really excited. So, when you had reached out to me, I got to tell you, it was kind of personally encouraging to me to think that, hey, you know, these are, you know, there are people that are listening to these episodes and this message is getting out. And in fact, it's kind of interesting. The Sunday Special has been, they've been some of the most downloaded episodes that we have on the podcast. And I think the message is really resonating with people. I think it's encouraging a lot of people, and I'm really excited to bring people stories like yours, hopefully to encourage and embolden them and to empower them to share their faith and feel like it's not something they need to hide. Cause you know, it's like the Bible says, you know, don't let your light hide, you know, let your light stand on a hill and be visible to everybody around. You know, we're not supposed to be, you know, hidden in the shadows. You know, we want to be a lighthouse. We want to be a beacon. And so I'm super excited to bring that with you today.
Thank you so much, Brent. I agree with you. I was very encouraged listening to other physicians. And I've also picked up a few things too to incorporate into how I share my faith. So I like what you do.
Well, I'm excited to share that journey with you. So, we've talked a little bit about your personal faith journey. It's unique, as I guess everybody's is, but I would very much love for you to share your personal faith journey with our listeners. You know, just what is the role that your faith has played in your career? You know, how did you come to accept Jesus as your savior in the first place?
All right, I'll be honest. I gave my life to Christ and I took it back a few times. The first time I remember I was 8, we'd watched a film about hellfire and heaven. And of course I wanted to go to heaven. And then growing up, I grew up in a Christian home. So that was the norm. It was church, home, school. So that was, that's all I knew. And so I believe I gave my life to Christ genuinely at 8. But it was a big part of fear. I didn't want to go to hell. And that was a big driving force. But as I would get older, I would grow to understand that my reasoning was a little bit faulted. And so when challenges came and there was a test to my faith as to why I believed, I realized I believed because I had to. That was all I knew. It was when I got to medical school that was heavily challenged. Why did I believe in Christ? You know, if my parents were not there, what would I believe? And so I left the faith. And I remember in residency, actually, my first year, someone had encouraged me to rededicate my life to Christ. And I remember in the privacy of my one-bedroom apartment in New York that I sincerely asked God that I would like to know him for real, for me. I would like to encounter him. And I asked him to help me because as I looked back, there were so many instances where I've seen God work and I knew that he was real. It just didn't add up. And I said, Lord, just reveal yourself to me in a way I would understand. And he answered my prayer. And so I had an encounter with him in that I could feel his presence. And I said, please just help me to hold on because I know you're real. And the rest is history.
Well, that's wonderful. And, you know, the thing I love hearing about your story is that, you know, I think it's a testimony to God's power over our lives. One of my favorite book series of all time is The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. And there's this great part in the fourth book, The Silver Chair, where the two kids are talking to Aslan, the lion, who's the Christ figure in the book. Mm-hmm. And he's asking, well, how did you come to be in Narnia? And she said, well, you know, we just sort of decided to come. And we just found this door in a wall was open. We just kind of decided to walk through. And he looked at her and said, child, you could not have been calling to me if I wasn't already calling to you.
Calling to you.
Mm. Yeah. And that's always been very convicting for me that, you know, whenever we feel like we're calling out, God's been standing on the sideline with a megaphone going, hello.
Hello. So true.
Was it helpful to have friends and people around you that were able to encourage you and support you through that journey? Because that's a very challenging thing to sort of walk away from the faith and then try to reintroduce yourselves. Did you feel like that was helpful for you?
Oh, definitely. And I have to say, you know, kudos to Christian parents. You know, I went through such a phase that I think I embarrassed my parents. I was supposed to be seen as a, you know, almost like a preacher's kid. My parents were heavy, devout Christians, and you could tell everywhere you go. And so I thought I brought shame to them, and I was so embarrassed. It got to a point where I actually thought they would, you know, our relationship would suffer, or they would kind of separate themselves from me. But I have to speak to the fact that they showed me love. Even growing up, you know, in a strict, you know, culture, I'm Nigerian. And so when you do certain things, it's like bad, 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 you know, how could you? And so sometimes you're ostracized. But they exemplified, they were not perfect, and they're not perfect still, but they exemplified love. They didn't like what I was doing. They didn't like the choices I had made, but they still would advise me. They would still would make meals for me. They would still come visit. you know. And it was frustrating because it'd be easier if they pushed me away. That way I could even go further, right? But they kept showing me love. So I was like, oh my goodness, you're not making this easy. So I got to give credit to them. And then, yes, having friends who, you know, even though they didn't understand what I was going through, they would come back and tell me, you know, like things like there's a light missing. There's something off about you. You're still smiley and friendly and outgoing, but there's a spark. Even non-Christians, too, would tell me that there's something off. You've changed. So I knew there were little cues that, you know, I needed to go back to my roots. So definitely having people around you who pray for you, who encourage you, who even love you from afar, they don't understand some of the struggles, really important. And we as Christians, I think, should do that well and encourage others who may be struggling in their faith walk. You don't bruise a wounded soldier. You help them up.
Yeah, and I think it reminds me of the story of the prodigal son, and the, you know, it's interesting. That story reads very differently to me now, being a father myself, than it did when I was a kid. You know, when I was a kid, I resonated to the son's story, the idea of, you know, coming back and forgiveness. And, you know, the whole point of that story is that the father forgives the son, and the son just has to do is come and say, I will be your son again. But as a father now, you know, reading that story, it reads very differently. And one of the things that has really, I think, been laid on my heart over and over with that story now is when it talks about the day that the son decides to return home, and he's walking down the path, and his father sees him from a distance, and he doesn't send him a text and say, hey, yeah, I'll see you in a little bit. I'm, you know, just finishing up some meetings, or, you know, excuse me while I get off my Zoom call, or, you know, send the servants to go get him and say, yeah, have him come and see me whenever he gets here. It says the father ran to greet his son. He wasn't just walking. He wasn't just, you know, it's like, oh yeah, hey, what's up, kid? I'll see you when you get here. You know, you're kind of far off. I mean, he put his stuff down and just started sprinting. And that's really what the father does for us. And I think it had to be just so encouraging for you to have parents and to have friends that were just not willing to let you go. As hard as you may be trying to run away, it's you know, they're just not going to let you.
And I got to say this too. You know, one of the things I had to learn was that even at my weakest, even as my worst, you know, God is ever ready to receive us back, receive me back. Because sometimes we get to a point where we're so ashamed of some of the struggles we have that I feel like the devil capitalizes on that and isolates us. So you figure, like in my head, I was like, I've already messed up. I've already been a disappointment to everyone who knew me as a Christian. So I might as well even go further. Why not? You know, but that's the error we make. We don't understand that even then, Jesus ever say, like, he's like, come, I got you. I still love you. I loved you before you sinned. I loved you before you existed. And that's refreshing. So I tell my kids all the time, there's nothing you ever do that God cannot forgive. Just remember that. Don't let everyone tell you otherwise. There's nothing that God cannot forgive you for.
Yeah. One of the more encouraging passages from the scriptures, I think, is when he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. I mean, that what that says is there is nothing that we can do that is too big for God. You know, it's, oh, I've messed up so many times, or I've done all these horrible things, or, you know, I've ignored him, or I've just refused to listen to him for the last 50 years. And there's nothing we can do. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And what an encouragement that is for us.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about your career in medicine a little bit, and just how your faith interweaves into that. One of the things that was very interesting to me was, I still can't believe you did this. I'd be fascinated to know how this went. Is you launched a private practice in the middle of the COVID pandemic. What in the world? How did that go?
All right, I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. So COVID hit, and at that time I was working, taking care of HIV patients. So there's a big scare, a new virus, and oh my goodness, we're talking worsening depression, worsening anxiety, And it got to a point where I was on the verge of a breakdown. I wasn't physically very active, but emotionally I was drained. And I realized that one of the things I have been doing was drawing strength from myself. And so when I reached a boiling point, I realized that, oh my goodness, I cannot give what I don't have. I need to lean in. And so it was then I started a prayer walk. I had watched, I listened to a message a pastor was preaching, and he said, he talks about his routine, and he gets up, he prays for a while, and he does so walking. And I was like, you know what? I need to do that because I need an outlet. And it was during this time I would walk from my house to, and my endpoint was the corner where my practice is right now. Didn't know that was coming. Is there, I would have conversations with God. I would pray, I would lean in and just dump, you know, my patience, everything on him. And then it hit me one day. I was reading, it was Psalms 56:3. David says, even when I'm afraid, I will trust you. So it hit me that I didn't need to be at a place where I'm all zen and calm to do what I need to do. I've always known I should open the practice. I've had patients tell me that. I've had strangers tell me that. But I thought it'd be something I'll do when I'm older. When, you know, I told God if I win a $1 million lottery, that would be a sign that I said I would get $1 million. And then that would be a sign that I could start the practice because all the funds were laid out. But when I read that verse, it ministered to me differently. It meant that I could be afraid and do what God asked me to do. And so I was like, do it afraid. And that's where, you know, and my husband was very encouraging. He knew that this was something I should do as well. And he's encouraged me. We've attempted it a couple of times, but I would back off and say, nah, I was too scared. I was afraid. That's the truth, the burden of responsibility. But once that mindset, and I know that it was God that allowed that, I said, you know what? Lord, you're the one who gave me this assignment. I need to live out my purpose. I lost a few friends to COVID, and it was like, what am I waiting for? I'm trusting I'll live a long life, but what am I waiting for? I got to live out my purpose. And if he's the one sending me, then his grace will follow it and his provision will follow it. Financially, it didn't make sense. It did not. We got denied by quite a few banks, 7 to be exact.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm serious. Wow. It was a couple who saw this happening before, who said, we believe your vision. And they gave us an interest-free loan. Yeah, that's how it happened.
Wow, that's
making sense. And the building, it was like, that's it. And here we are.
That is awesome. I love that. What are you coming from? What was your job before? You were in an employee position or academic or?
I was working in a group practice as an HIV primary care provider.
Gotcha. Okay. Wow. Okay. So then you launched this private practice in the middle of COVID. So you've been open for a year, a little less than a year.
So we started telemedicine in January, and then we opened on ground 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. So just really recently here. Oh my goodness. So, wow. So, I mean, what's it been like? What was it like in those months leading up to it as you're getting ready to launch? What were some of those challenges that you were facing?
Oh man, challenges like, you know, you'd hear things like, are you crazy? Like who the heck are you to think you could do this? Or, but I don't want to sound all negative. I had people who would tell me, you know, we believe in you, strangers who would encourage me. And so one of the things I had to learn to do was to kind of, you know, tune in. I narrowed, you know, the people I listened to. I looked for people who I knew are encouragers, who would tell me the truth, but who are encouragers, you know, and some people who believe in my vision. Of course, I don't want psycho fans, people who just say, yeah, go ahead. I want realists too. And so I was able to be surrounded by people who would give good advice, so that helped. But challenges, of course, you know, putting the numbers together. I'm not saying don't plan, but there's some things that if you waited for everything to be ducks in a row, won't happen. That's not faith. I'm not saying do anything stupid, just be guided. So I would go back and I was like, Lord, this is not what we planned. you know, and I would be honest. I'm sincere. I'm like, Lord, I don't see how this will happen. You know, that's another thing that, you know, I have to share, being sincere with God, like not fronting, not pretending, like, Lord, I'm struggling. I don't see it. I don't know how this is going to work. And my husband was a very big source of encouragement. He would tell me, you know, when you launch out in faith, when you're doing what God asks you to do, it doesn't mean everything is going to be easy. I mean, in fact, you know, he uses it to bring out better virtues in you. And I'm like, well, great. I'm learning patience, you know. So sometimes, like I said, the money wouldn't add up, and, you know, the logistics, or there were delays, you know, there's certain licenses you had to get. So the launch date, you know, initially it was supposed to be spring, and then we had to move it further because there were so many timelines, and COVID kind of slowed things down. And then at my previous job, the plan was to transition to part-time, so there'll be some sort of income, you know, kind of leaning a little bit. And God said, no, it's time to leave. And he made it happen. I was asked to if I wanted to resign. I said, all right, Lord, I guess that's it. So it's, yeah, so it's scary sometimes, but every day, just step by step, you know, I'm seeing him at work. Yesterday we saw 21 patients, so I had to turn some away. We're overbooked, we're booked, you know. So I see every day. Sometimes the morning of, I have one patient on schedule. By the time the day is done, 12, 14. So I'm seeing him work every day, just reminding me that this is, I'm here with you. It's one day at a time. I'm not looking at schedules a week ahead. Of course, I'm, you know, putting myself out there and encouraging visits and things like that, but I'm just one day at a time. Just one day at a time.
That is great. What would have been some of the hardest parts of starting the business? Is it hiring team members? Is it getting all the licenses? Is it, you know, figuring out all the marketing stuff? What do you think has been the hardest part of all this?
I would say a little bit of everything. It's just, and then stepping out of your comfort zone. So I used to think putting yourself out there is kind of arrogant, like you're bragging about yourself, or things like telling people about you doesn't show humility or something. But there has to be some mindset shifts that, you know, what I have is a gift. It's a gift from God, and I'm to shine, and that's okay. And that's okay.
Well, being able to recognize some of that and say, you know, that doesn't have to be a weakness. I mean, that can be a strength is, I think, really important. It's so funny. I saw a meme not too long ago where it was something like, you know, all introverts ever, you know, say when the COVID shutdown happened, it said, everyone stay away from everybody and don't go near people, don't talk to people. And all the introverts say, don't worry, I've been preparing for this my entire life.
That is so true. Oh, I had a staff member who we did a little game. It was a little icebreaker over the Teams meeting. And we said before, what about the pandemic has actually been a positive thing? What has? And she was like, I'm a germaphobe. I like to stay with myself. I don't like when people stop by my office just to chit chat. I don't like, so with COVID, all of that went away. And I was like, well, I was one of those people who stopped by to chit chat. So we laughed about it, but she was like, this is my element. So I was like, yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's perfect. I want to ask you about your practice itself. So I was looking through your website and looking through some of your promotional materials. And one of the things that I noticed is that you really have your faith and the Bible just infused all throughout the website. I mean, I'm seeing Bible verses on your blog posts and on your marketing materials. I mean, you really went for it. I mean, that's a full send right there, right? I mean, that's you're not hiding the ball. You're putting it out there like, I'm a Christian. I mean, it says right there in your bio, I'm a mom, I'm a Christian. I mean, it's right there. I mean, that's a bold thing to put out there. I mean, did it make you nervous to do that? Or was it one of those things you said, this is something that I just need to do. I want people to know this. This is important to me. I mean, what gives you the courage to do that when most people won't?
I was nervous, I'll be honest. But I had to be honest. I don't want people to sit and think that I'm self-made, because I'm not. It's the truth. It's not me trying to be spiritual. I mean, a spiritual being, but it's not me trying to, you know, Like, it's the truth. Like, I was talking to a patient one time, and it was kind of emotional. He was just like, you know, I've not met someone like you. Like, what, like, there's something about you. And I said, I told him, I said, let me not pretend with you. What you see, what you're drawn to is light, is God in me. I said, outside of me, I'm not much. Trust me. And I was trying to explain to him that he too could have that. I was not a reserved for a certain class of people, but it's the truth. I was nervous. I edited and tried to, kind of calm it down a little bit. But I was not being true to myself if I didn't say that, because that's, and anyone who knows me knows that that's, not everyone, but a good number of people know that that's important to me. And so one of the things I'm very passionate about is empowering people. And so when the conversation of empowerment comes, it's like, oh, what's your source? That's it. That really is it. So I do ask God for wisdom and how to balance it, though. So I there's certain conversations I won't talk to someone and say, oh, you gotta be covered by the blood of Jesus, and because that sounds a little weird. So you know what I mean? Like, conversations about Christianity, like there's a way. And that's where I believe the Holy Spirit will help us, like what to say and when and how, so that way I'm able to draw those who may not know in, you know what I mean? So there's a wisdom to it, and I'm not mastered it yet, but I'm a work in progress.
Well, I'm sure it opens up a lot of opportunities for you to have conversations with your patients. And I remember, a year and a half ago, our very first Sunday special was with a now retired neurosurgeon named David Levy. And he wrote a book where he talked about, basically it was his memoir of all of his experiences praying with his patients. It was a decision he made one day that every time he was going to have a surgery, he would ask the patients, can I pray with you before the surgery? And it was a very interesting thing. And so I'm sure it offers you opportunities to have those discussions. I mean, not every patient that's coming in is even reading your bio necessarily. And the ones that do, a lot of times I would imagine they're going to gloss over that, but there are probably more than a few people that will make mention of the fact that, hey, I saw that you're a believer on your website and that was important to me. Or can you tell me more about that? Have you been able to have some of those conversations?
Yes, I've had quite a few patients say that, I like the fact that you're Christian. And someone came and said, I watched your live and you talked about your faith, and I was very, very, very impressed. And I that's important to me, so I wanted to come. Now, I will tell you the opposite, though. I've had a patient who, it was an elderly patient I remember very well. He came to me. He said he was searching for, he was well-to-do, rich family, wife, kids, grandkids. He was doing well, travels quite a bit. And he said, I feel like I'm looking for something more in life. And I told him, I said, what are you looking for? It's a sense of fulfillment. And that comes with living out your purpose in God. I said, just a suggestion. I did say it like that. And he looked at me, he's like, oh, come on, doc, you're too smart for that. I was like, I know. I mean, talk about a virgin birth as a doctor, like, duh, like, of course it doesn't make sense. But I beg to differ. I said, some things are just bigger than who we are. So I left it there. But I've had, people tell me, like, that's a dumb thing to believe. Like, you're a doctor, come on, you're scientific, you should know better. And I said, I know from a physical standpoint, yes, I should. But God's ways are not my ways. So pressure is on him, not me.
Well, and for me, I've always felt like faith and science are not mutually exclusive. I forget who it was that said this. I don't remember if it was Einstein or what, but someone had said that science and religion are not at odds. Science is just too young to understand God.
I like that. I'm gonna go Google that and find who said it. Really profound. Yes.
Now, one of the things that I often will encourage my my students and my residents and my colleagues about is just not as an admonition maybe, but as just a word of caution that if you're going to put yourself out there as a Christian online, if you're going to put yourself out there and as a believer and have that be a central part of who you are in your public profile, you need to be prepared to be on call all the time as a Christian, right? You need to be setting a good example. And in particular, I think that means being an excellent physician. I remember I used to work with the Christian Medical Association. It's been a while, but when I was in medical school, and I remember one of the girls who was thinking about running for an office, secretary or treasurer or something like that. She wanted to do more. You know, she was asking advice about, well, what do you think? What should we do? You know, should I do this? And, you know, the thing I told her is that, well, look, you can do that. I mean, there's certainly a lot of value in that, but, you know, she had also been struggling academically. And so she was really, really felt like she wasn't keeping up and really, you know, adding another thing. She was really conflicted with how that was going to affect her studies. And I said, here's the thing. You are here. You are called by God to be a good physician. And I'm sorry, but someone else can plan the weekly meetings. Okay. It is not critical that you be that person. It is critical that you be a good physician, because if you come out of here and you go out into the world and you're a bad physician and you're a Christian, people are going to associate that. Like, well, of course she's a bad physician. She's a Christian. You know, she doesn't take any science seriously. You can't allow your witness for the next 50 years to be interrupted by the fact that you took too much time away from yourself doing something that's good and sacrificing what you were called to do. So the idea of substituting faith for a bad practice really is a problem. And I do see some people fall into that trap, but I think that if you can be a good doctor and also put yourself out there as a believer, you can be a phenomenal witness for folks.
I agree with you. You know, there's, you know, the scripture talks about faith and works. So, and we're supposed to be examples in deed, in character, in words. And so, you know, for that student, she needs to dig a little bit deeper and see, you know, are her priorities in order? I'm not saying running the CMDA or anything of that sort is a bad thing. Just make sure that there's balance. Balance in faith too. Is very, very important. So what are you supposed to be doing per time? If you spend all the time with CMD or doing extra activities, and I can attest to that in the first year, you know, I was very philanthropic and doing a lot of activities. There was time to do the exam. I realized that I was not prepared and I had a mini panic attack. And so I realized that I had to put the first things first. And so I had to reorganize my priorities. And one of the things that's very important to be a priority is your closet life. Who you are when no one's looking. That's very important because you cannot produce what you don't have. And so, you know, I think, you know, the activities are important. They're good. You know, we want to serve God. We want to serve people. But God wants to be with us first. So you, if you want to shine out there and really thrive in through difficult times, you want to be a Christian that will stand the test of time. Who you are when no one's looking is very important. So working on that is key. And I'm learning that over and over again.
Yeah. Do you infuse this kind of stuff into your staff and into your practice? I mean, is this something, I mean, it's on your website. I mean, even the name of your practice, Living Spring, is inspired by scripture. Is this something that you guys promote throughout the staff? I mean, obviously I know you're not hiring exclusively people who are Christian as a discriminatory thing, because obviously that's not okay. Right. So I'm with you on that. But is that something that you guys promote as a as a central tenet or a central value for your company?
So, you know, and I think that's an everyday thing, yes. But not everyone on my staff is a Christian. But before I bring them in, I tell them that this is who the Living Spring is. This is what we're about. This is what we believe. We encourage you to just understand it. You don't have to believe it, but that's kind of what we believe. And they're like, yeah, that works. That's fine. That's cool. No problem. And then our logo is Care Sincerely. But the word, I said the keyword is sincere. And I said, let's be honest, that's hard because we're humans and we're prone to our emotions and people can push those buttons. So being able to provide care sincerely from the heart can be hard. But I talked about ways we can encourage that and, you know, ask for feedback. Like, you know, if you need a day off, you need some time off, if you're struggling, you need just let us know, because that's hard. That's hard. So you have to set realistic expectations and give room for error, because I'm struggling with it too. I'm a work in progress, so I can't expect any more from anyone else. So, yeah. So it's part of conversations, and you know, we want it to be sincere, and that takes time. Yes.
So I want to explore that for a second. So, what is that like? You know, being a uniquely Christian organization, a faith-driven organization, and trying to incorporate people who are non-believers. How is that? How do you guys thread that needle? How do you navigate that? I mean, do conflicts arise? Is it the kind of thing you just don't talk about, or is it that you talk about it and people just need to get on board with it or not?
You know what's so interesting? My husband and I had this conversation because he had to remind me. He's like, you know, babe, you have to remember, you know, you're light. You're Christian. You know, you have to be patient. You have to just, if people were patient with you, you have to have realistic expectation. You know, you don't want to create pretenders. You don't want to create, like, that's not, so give room. And so it's not, you know, expecting too much. It's setting an example, because they see you, you know, you know, things you do behind you, they're watching you. You're a Christian, they're watching you. Let's see your light. Let's see who you really are. So, so there's a, is it hard? Well, maybe a little bit. It'd be convenient if everybody's just, you know, we all speak the same language. But what if, you know, people profess to be Christians and not, the walk does not agree with the talk? That's an issue too. So it's just keeping it real. And I'm also quick to say that I am not perfect. And I'm sure anyone who meet me will know that I am not. I am no, when I walk, I struggle. And there's some days I have to hide behind a closed door and cry and say, oh my God, that hurt. You know, or I've said some things that were not very tactful. Yeah. So I'm a Christian. I love God. He loves me. I'm a work in progress. My goal is to get better every day through my relationship with him. I'd encourage you to join me too. So I leave that out in what I say and how I know how I interact. And there are days that it's just, you know, not a very good example, but I ask God for help, you know, knowing when to apologize, knowing when I said something that's insensitive, and maybe reading the body language of someone. So being more in tune, I would say is important too, you know, especially as a leader. You know, it's not just getting the activity of the day done. It's, did I do it well? Did I hurt someone in the process? You know, and it's a different kind of pressure, I would say, though. But I'm being sincere in my walk with God, and sometimes I'm honest with the struggles as led. I'm honest with the struggles, because Christians, sometimes that's the problem. We act like we're perfect, but we're not.
Yeah. Well, and I'd imagine that's a unique struggle as a leader. I'm sure that that's been a transition for you as you've moved from, you know, an employee role to now leading a team. The way that you display your faith and the way that you encourage other people, it's very different when you're an employer status rather than employee status. When you're an employee status, you know, you're having conversations about your faith. It's like, hey, I'm just talking to one of my colleagues. I'm talking to one of my coworkers. It's not a big deal. You know, if you're the leader though, there's some legal restrictions on that kind of thing. So, because you know, requiring statements of faith or requiring certain religious practices is not acceptable. And so trying to thread that needle, I can imagine is more challenging. So how do you strike that balance? I mean, is it just setting that example and just allowing people to have those, you know, bring up those conversations naturally, or is it, or how do you walk that balance?
Ah, every day is different. You know, I'm learning also not to talk too much. You don't have to, I'm a Christian. No, be light, people will gravitate to you, and then they will ask why you're how you are. Sometimes we want to do the "I'm a Christian" poster, but we're not, you know. So it's not more, Jesus said this. It's, you know, it's, hey, you okay? You're right. Everything okay? Okay, you need some time to yourself. All right, go ahead and do that. Like, it's, I don't know how to explain it. It's more, let's see how the day goes, you know. And sometimes I feel a nudge to go ask someone, are you okay? Or, you know, I have to readdress how I talk to someone because they feel a little, you know, I intimidated them, you know. So every day is different. I try to take it as it goes. I'm careful not to make people uncomfortable. You know, I try to read body language too, and I ask for feedback, you know. Ask for feedback constructively. You know, I've had conversations with some of my staff, you know, who they actually said it, like, I know it's not the Christian thing. So I said, oh, that's okay. We're all on the journey. So there will be opportunities. So maximizing the opportunities I have to be an example, but not to judge or not to condemn. Condemn is the word. So conversations will come up like, I know it's not the Christian thing to do, but this is. And I'm like, but no judgment zone here. No. This is a work family. So we support each other. We lean each other. If there's anything I could do to help, just let me know. You know, there's a wisdom in that. I'm asking God for help. So let me be honest too. I'm asking God for help.
Yeah. And there's really something to the idea that, you know, the world will know that we are Christians by our love. And so if we have that and we just let the Holy Spirit work, I mean, that is honestly a really great way to approach just about any situation. Well, Dr. O, one of the things I always like to ask people that come on the Sunday special is if you have a favorite Bible verse or a passage that has influenced you in a major way, something that's really key and really central to your life.
All right. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 3, verse 3. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. And the way I explain that is, there are situations in life that keep your head down, make you embarrassed, and just have you just looking on the floor. But in my walk with God, I've my head is lifted. I can look up and say, no, I know who I am. I know whose I am. And that's what makes me who I am. All right, so that verse has helped through a lot of challenges for me. He is my glory. Is why I am who I am, and he's my secret. He's that secret sauce. I will never forget that verse, the lifter of my head, and the analogy with looking down in shame versus looking up, saying, I know who I am. So yes, that's a favorite.
That's great. I love that. Well, as we wrap up here, I want to ask if you could give a final piece of parting advice to the docs that are out there or the trainees that are out there that they're experiencing a crisis of faith as you once went through, or maybe they're trying to figure out how to navigate their faith in their career, or they're not sure what it looks like to be a Christian in the workplace, or they're facing hostility. You know, as you're talking to other people who are just trying to figure out how to make their way in the world and how to express their faith, what last advice or what last encouragement would you give to those folks?
I'll say a few things. Number one, be sincere. Be sincere with where you are in your faith work. It's okay. Do not pretend in the place, in your space with God. Let him know. Were you struggling with your faith? When it's hard to believe some of the things his word has said, let him know. He's a big boy. He can handle it. Be sincere. Don't pretend to be more spiritual than you are. And that's in your closet life. Number two, surround yourself with people who can encourage you. It's easier to surround yourself with people who, you know, who are not like-minded and who, you know, tickle your fancy or make you feel in a certain way. But sometimes the challenge is having people around you who tell you the truth even when you don't like it. You have to be intentional about who you surround yourself with, people who encourage you. Listen to podcasts that build your faith. Number three, you know, like, okay, we're spiritual body, right? So you got to build up your spirit, man. The simple, mundane things, praying, reading your Bible. Your faith increases when you hear God's word. Listen to it. Read it. Meditate. Like, sit there and marinate on the verses in your mind. That's how you feed your spirit. Our spirit sometimes gets so starved of the things of God that we're not able to manifest. So those would be the three things I would say. Be sincere with your faith walk. Surround yourself with people who can encourage you. And number three, practice the things that feed your spirit every day, even when you don't feel like it. Because remember, your body is always at war with your spirit. So you're not going to feel like that. So that should be a reason for you to even do it, because you know you're not supposed to feel like doing it. So that would be, and then one day at a time, you'd be surprised how God will use you. Don't always look for the spectacular. Little things, a kind word, you don't know how far that would go. So yeah, this would be my parting advice.
Well, that's a good word. And certainly we see examples of that kind of thing all throughout the scripture, that God used as the least, the smallest, the most broken, the most despised. And so, I mean, look at some of the characters in the Bible that he used.
And so
if he can use them, I mean, Paul wrote half the New Testament, and he was one of the worst offenders of in all of Christendom at the time.
Look at David, stole a man's wife. Had him killed, and God said, "That's my friend. I have hope, Brett. We have hope. We have hope. Trust me." So,
that's a good word to end on, Doctor. Oh, I love that. That's great. Well, if people want to connect to you, or if they want to learn more about you, or connect to what you're doing with Living Spring, they want to continue the conversation. What are some ways that people can connect to you?
All right, awesome. My website is www.livingspring.com. Medicals with an S.com. There's an email there where you can actually email Dr. Levinton. It does come directly to me. And I'm also on Facebook at Living Spring Medicals and on Instagram at Dr._Olabinton. Yes.
Awesome. And I'll make sure to have all the links for that in the show notes. So just scroll down in the podcast description on your phone or check the show notes, and we will have that information, those links, so you can connect to Dr. O. Well, this has been a great conversation with Dr. Tolu Olabinton and all the great stuff that she's doing out with Living Spring Medicals. We're super excited to have you. Thanks again so much, Dr. O, for coming on the Sunday special at the Scope of Practice podcast. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. My pleasure. Thank you, friend.
Talk about a leap of faith, right? Leaving a steady job in the middle of an economic meltdown to pursue the path that God is calling you to? I mean, I'm inspired. I hope you are too. And I want to challenge you to ask yourself this week, what is God calling you to do? Is there something that has been weighing on your heart and your mind that you just haven't said yes to yet? Maybe God has been nudging you to make an important decision. I encourage you this week, step up and answer His call. He's watching. He's waiting. He's excited to use you in amazing ways. And I hope that's encouraging to you. And to further encourage you this week, I have a free resource for you. It's a devotional series called The Body of Christ. You can download it by clicking the link in the podcast description on your phone or on your computer. This is a devotional series that I wrote with a medical theme. The scriptures, you know, they speak of the church as the body of Christ, right? And we see analogies throughout the scriptures of a person being a hand, meaning maybe they're a healer, or someone else is referred to as a mouth. They speak the good news of Jesus to others. Well, that's the idea behind this devotional series. All the devotionals have a medical theme, and I think you'll really get a lot out of this. It's a 14-day series, and I want to give it to you for free. Again, just click the link in the podcast description or download it from the show notes at www.thescopeofpractice.com/SundaySpecial16. If you want to contribute to the series and write some of the devotionals to share with the world, I would love to have you. Please let me know. You can email me using the link in the podcast description or at www.thescopeofpractice.com/SundaySpecial16. Thanks so much for joining us on the Sunday Special today. Remember to go to thescopeofpractice.com/SundaySpecial16 to download the free devotional series, The Body of Christ, or you can click the links in the podcast description or on your phone. I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow for the continued weekly series of the Scope of Practice podcast and for the next Sunday special on the first Sunday in October. And now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could possibly imagine, be all glory and honor and praise forever and ever. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Scope of Practice podcast at www.thescopeofpractice.com.
Before we end, here's a quick reminder. If you want to boost efficiency across your practice and make staff scheduling easier, try the Deputy app. You can try this award-winning technology for free by going to drpodcastnetwork.com/deputy. That's drpodcastnetwork.com/deputy.